and was called by God as a young man, called as a prophet during some of Israel's hardest days. And this is the story of his call from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10. So listen for God's word to you. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out the Lord's hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is it any wonder that Jeremiah did not want to hear God's call, did not want to serve as God's messenger? Is it any wonder that he was anxious and afraid, worried that he might not be a good prophet, that he might be in danger following this call, and that he might do more harm than good? Accepting a call is scary. It is nerve-wracking to trust that you are doing the right thing, that you have correctly heard God's voice, that the Spirit is leading you, and that you are not following a false lead. Have you experienced this worry in your life with God? Wondered if you were doing the right thing, or worried that you might have missed your chance to do some good? This year, on the first anniversary of President Biden's inauguration on January 20th, the inaugural poet, Amanda Gorman, published an essay in the New York Times entitled, "Why I Almost Didn't Read My Poem at the Inauguration." Do you remember her performance of that poem? Yes. She was wearing a long yellow coat with her black braids piled high on her head, held in place by a red headband, and she made a striking picture reciting her gorgeous poem called "The Hill We Climb." 14 days after the insurrection at the Capitol building, this brave 22-year-old young black woman got up to speak. In her essay, she revealed exactly how frightening it was to do so. And here is a bit of her essay. "The truth is, I almost declined to be the inaugural poet. Why? I was terrified. I was scared of failing my people, my poetry, but I was also terrified on a physical level. COVID was still raging, and my age group couldn't get vaccinated yet. Just a few weeks before, domestic terrorists assaulted the U.S. Capitol, the very steps where I would recite. I didn't know then I'd become famous, but I did know that at the inauguration, I was going to become highly visible, which is a very dangerous thing to be in America, especially if you're black and outspoken and have no secret service. It didn't help that I was getting DMs from friends telling me not so jokingly to buy a bulletproof vest. My mom had us crouch in our living room so that she could practice shielding my body from bullets. I had insomnia and nightmares, barely ate or drank for days. I finally wrote to some close friends and family, telling them that I was most likely going to pull out of the ceremony. The night before I was to give the inaugural committee my final decision felt like the longest of my life. My neighborhood was eerily quiet in that early morning dark, though I strained my ears for noise to distract me from the choice that lay ahead. It felt like my little world stood still. And then it struck me. maybe being brave enough doesn't mean lessening my fear, but listening to it. I closed my eyes in bed and let myself utter all the leviathans that scared me, both monstrous and minuscule. What stood out most of all was the worry that I'd spend the rest of my life wondering what this poem could have achieved. There was only one way to find out. By the time the sun rose, I knew one thing for sure. I was going to be the 2021 inaugural poet. I can't say I was completely confident in my choice, but I was completely committed to it. The fears that she named were so enormous and so real. The fear of COVID, the fear of domestic terrorism, the fear of racial violence. Her mother practiced shielding her body from bullets. How could she not be afraid? And how could Jeremiah not be afraid? Prophets in the Hebrew Bible didn't fare so well. Neither the Israelite people nor her rulers wanted to hear God's message. At the very least, they were unwelcome and unpopular. And at the very worst, they ended up dead. King Ahab and Queen Jezebel killed as many of God's prophets as they could. Isaiah barely escaped with his life. And Jeremiah's fears were completely justified because later in his story, King Zedekiah tried to kill him by throwing him in a well. Under these circumstances, reluctance to accept God's call seems rational and healthy. But Jeremiah's excuse was his age, and by implication, his inexperience. Lord God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. I'm too young. And that excuse, any excuse really, does not stand with God. I'm too young, I'm too old, I'm too busy, I'm too rich or too poor, too uneducated or too overeducated. I'm sure that God has heard them all. And here is what God says to Jeremiah. Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. That is what God says to Jeremiah and to us. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Now, the renowned expert on all things biblical, Dr. Google, tells me that do not be afraid appears in Scripture 365 times. I don't know how accurate that is, but I know from my own reading that God and Jesus and the angels tell humans over and over again, do not fear. The implication is always that fear is normal, even expected, and that God's presence lessens the fear. God makes it better. God makes it bearable. And God never gives big jobs to rock stars or superheroes. God gives the biggest, most important jobs to the unqualified, the inept, and the powerless. People like you and me. I hope that's reassuring and not insulting. At the beginning of the reading, Jeremiah writes, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nation. I formed you, I knew you, I consecrated you, I appointed you.'" One of the essential tenets of the Protestant Reformation was the priesthood of all believers, the notion that every believer is called to the priesthood, called to the ministry, called to be a pastor. You may never go to seminary or be ordained, but you are called. Like Jeremiah, we are formed, known, consecrated, and appointed to be God's messenger in the world. That is an amazing, weighty responsibility, and that looks different on every single one of us. A call can be big or small. It can result in a lifetime commitment or a one-time act. It can be a public gesture or something private known only to a few. And you might know that you're called when you get a nagging feeling that you are missing an opportunity to help. You might know it's a call when you have a sudden realization that you need to get involved right now. And that's what happened to one of our church members last week. Last week, Cottage Grove hosted a drive-through vaccination clinic at Bohemia Park. We advertised it in our bulletin and our announcements. It was staffed by Lane County Public Health, the Oregon Health Authority, and FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. So it was a big deal. And they were offering all three types of vaccines for adults and children, and it was supposed to happen over 2 weeks. Have you heard about what happened at that clinic? The clinic was canceled when anti-vaccination protesters intimidated and scared the staff as well as the people showing up to get vaccinated. There were protesters there wearing guns, yelling insults, and filming people getting their vaccines. It was bad. Church member Chris Heritage happened to be driving by and to see the protesters in the park, and she gave me permission to tell this story. Here's what she wrote on Facebook. This was a spontaneous last-minute thing. I drove by and saw the protesters and so went right home to make my sign and came back to stand in opposition to what was happening. And there's a great picture of Chris wearing her mask, holding a cardboard sign that says, "Vaccines save lives." And there's another sign at her feet that says, "Thanks, health workers." I think too often we dismiss our own capabilities, mistakenly thinking that we're not ready to step in and stand up, not educated enough, not brave enough, not old enough, not young enough. We have lots of excuses for not getting involved. When most of the time, what is required is our presence and our voice. That's it. Showing up, presenting another perspective, and living with the consequences. That's a call. And Chris felt the call last Sunday afternoon, and she showed up. The other protesters called her Antifa. I wonder if that hurt her feelings. I'm going to have to ask her that. Amanda Gorman wrote this about her call to be the inaugural poet. I'm a firm believer that often terror is trying to tell us of a force far greater than despair. In this way, I look at fear not as cowardice, but as a call forward, a summons to fight for what we hold dear. A call forward, a summons to fight for what we hold dear. God called Jeremiah forward, called him to fight for what he held dear. And Jeremiah lived through the destruction of the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel and the Babylonian exile. There was plenty to fear. He was often at the mercy of weak political leaders who did not want to hear what he had to say, and he said it anyway. These are fearful, anxious, divisive times in which we live, and God is still at work in the world, calling the faithful to follow, to use our gifts and talents to make a positive difference. We had a session meeting last week. The session is the governing body in the Presbyterian Church, just in case that term is unfamiliar to you. And one item of business before the session was in response to the canceled vaccination clinic. There was a motion to offer our church as an alternative site for a vaccination clinic. And even recognizing the risks and the possibility that our church might become a target for the protesters, the motion passed unanimously. God is at work in the world, and our job is to follow, to respond to God's call individually and as a body. Jeremiah became a prophet no matter his young age. Amanda Gorman became the inaugural poet despite her fear. This is the final stanza of the poem she recited that day. There is always light, if only we are brave enough to see it. If only we are brave enough to be it. May God help us to be brave enough to see the light and to be the light. Amen.